This is Brother Gino. I want to thank you for joining me for another broadcast of the Pastor's Study. Last time we were together, we began a study around Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 23 to 25. And we were looking at what we show as Christians when we assemble together in church, amen, what we show when we assemble together. And we began that study and we looked at so far that when we assemble ourselves together, we show, number one, commitment. We looked at that in great detail. Number two, we show consideration. We looked at number three, the assembling of ourselves together shows concern. And then we began a discussion around the assembling of ourselves together, number four, shows consecration. And of course, we see this in verse number 24 of Hebrews 10. Well, the Word of God says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And of course, the word consecration means to set apart as holy. And we saw that when we assemble together, amen, we assemble together, we're set apart as Christians to do good works. After you get saved, in some sense, you go to work, amen. We're not saved by our good works. We're only saved through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. But we saw in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where Paul wrote, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, we are set apart after we are saved unto good works. And of course, we continue to look at that, and the reason we're set apart unto good works is so that we can glorify our Father in heaven. Amen. And we want to pick up our study as we look at, as when we assemble ourselves together, amen, we show consecration. Paul says in in the book of Titus chapter 2, if you turn there with me, Titus chapter number 2, in verse number 14, Titus 2 verse 14, we read, who gave himself for us, and of course the who here in verse 14 of Titus 2 is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Why did Christ give himself for us? Amen. For he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. Zealous of good works. Amen. So he redeemed us, amen, from all iniquity, to purify us, to make us clean, unto himself a peculiar people. Amen. As Christians, we should be a lot different than from the people of the world, the unsaved. We are a peculiar people, amen, because we do things that are peculiar, not to God, but so much as to God, but as to man and and what the world is used to doing, amen. But we should be zealous of good works. We should want to do good works, amen. We should be zealous, amen, to do good works. We see in the book of James that James reinforces this idea. In James chapter 2, if you turn there with me, please, James chapter 2, we read in verses 17 and 18, even so faith, James says, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Amen. See, since only the Lord can see a person's heart, amen, to see whether they're saved or not, amen, and that's where it counts, good works show outwardly to man and to the world that a person has placed his faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. See, a person can't look at our hearts and see that we're saved. Amen. But as a result of being saved, our lives should exhibit good works that glorify God in heaven. So the assembling of ourselves together shows consecration. In other words, again, the Lord has set you and I apart as Christians, set us apart as holy unto good works. Amen. Again, after we're saved unto good works. Works have nothing to do with our salvation. Amen. Again, Paul reminds us of that in his epistle to the Ephesians in chapter 2. He makes it very clear in verses 8 and 9 how an individual is saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So our good works do not save us. We're saved by grace through faith. Faith in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Faith in the gospel of grace in this church age or the age of grace, which Paul simply outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the verse 3 or 4 verses. He says, this is the gospel of grace, that Christ died. He died for our sins. He was buried and he arose again the third day. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's the gospel of grace that Paul preached. Amen. And that's the gospel of grace that you and I, as Christians in this church age, that we are commanded to carry. Amen. In our community, in our state, in our country, and to the uttermost part of the world. Amen. So we see then, the assembling of ourselves together shows consecration. Number 5, we want to see that the assembling of ourselves together shows communion or fellowship. The assembling of ourselves together shows communion or fellowship. First of all, communion with the Savior. We see in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter number 18, Jesus said in verse number 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I, he says, in the midst of them. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." When we assemble ourselves together, amen, when we assemble ourselves together, it is centered around, or should be centered around, amen, not the pastor, amen, not around the church building, but our assembling ourselves together should be centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there should be a difference in you and I after we've been in church. We should change from when we first entered the doors. The reason is we have been in communion and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason is we've been in communion with the Lord, amen, and we've had some of that wicked world knocked out of us through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, in chapter number 4 and verse 12, about the Word of God. "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Amen. So when we go in there, we go into church, you know, we've been in the world most of the week, amen. We've got to go out and work and make a living, so forth, and do business and so forth and so on. So we have to be in the world, but not of the world. And sometimes some of that wicked world rubs off on us, amen? Because remember that our flesh, our vile flesh, as Paul calls it, our wicked flesh, amen, sucks some of the world off, up, amen. So when we come into church, be it on Sunday or Wednesday night, we get some of that world knocked out of us, amen, by the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. You know, sometimes we should leave church not feeling good about ourselves, amen? Especially if the preacher is doing what God would have him to do and preach the whole counsel of God, amen? And remind us that, hey, even though we're, as Christians, we're on our way to heaven, we're still sinners, amen? And we still sin in these earthly, fleshly, vile, wicked bodies, amen? You know, we have had some of the world knocked out of us because while in church, we have been speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Amen? That's right, amen. We should get into the song service. Amen. You know, you go into a song service and people are singing, "Victory in Jesus." It's victory in Jesus, amen? We have the victory. We should put our heart and our soul into it, amen? We have the testimony because we have been in communion with the Lord. People should be able to observe you and I and say and see just by looking at your face that you have been with Jesus, amen? That you've had fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It shows, amen. It shows. If you've truly been in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll show on your face. Amen. Not only when we assemble ourselves together do we show communion or fellowship with the Savior, but also communion or fellowship with the saints. When we assemble together, it shows not only communion, amen, like I said, with the Savior, but also with the saints of God around the Savior. And this is evidenced in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul reminds us in his first epistle to the Corinthians, in chapter number 10, in verse 16, he says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" You see, when we come together, we have something in common. We are sons of God through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you and I get together in our respective churches, in essence, it's a family reunion. Amen. It's a family reunion, and we have fellowship. How do we have fellowship? We have fellowship, the Bible tells us, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Over there in the first epistle of John, the Bible tells us in verse number 7, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." Now notice what the Bible says, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light," Christ is in the light, "we have fellowship one with another." And that fellowship is made possible through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we see then, our assembling together shows communion. Number 6, the assembling of ourselves together shows communication. It shows communication. Amen. We see as we go back to Hebrews chapter 10, in verse number 25, Hebrews 10, verse 25, we read, it mentions, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." Exhorting one another. When we go to church, we show communication through exhortation. Now, the word exhort has several meanings. For example, it means urge strongly. You know, sometimes you and I need a good old-fashioned push or nudge to serve God and be involved in the things of God. Amen? When we go to church and assemble together, it's a time when we communicate. When we get a push or a nudge from a brother or sister of Christ or the pastor to serve God and to do more for God. The word exhort also means propel. You know, a bullet is useless. That piece of metal is useless unless it has gunpowder to propel it toward its intended target, amen? And sometimes you and I need to be that gunpowder in another Christian's life to propel him or her toward the intended target. In other words, to serve God, or maybe just to go on for God and not give up or quit, amen? And when you and I assemble together, amen, we need to exhort one another or communicate one another in the spirit of love. Always in a spirit of love. Because we have to remember, we're not above anything as Christians. We may find ourselves in the situation that a brother and sister of Christ is. So we have to be careful in how we present that exhortation. Not in a spirit of criticalness, amen, or a pharisaical attitude, but one of love, amen. One of love. And that's how we're to do it. We're to have, the Bible tells us, we're to have love for one another, amen. We're to consider one another, amen. Sometimes we have to be spiritual cheerleaders for one another. Amen? You know, because the people of the world, they're not going to cheer us on. They want us to fail. They want us to fall flat on our faces. They're out there looking so they can point their fingers at us, amen, and say, see, look at that. They're no better than we are, amen. They're just waiting for us to fall. Waiting to see us get in our flesh, amen. So we have to be spiritual cheerleaders for one another. We need to exhort one another in a spirit of love. We need to exhort one another as we run the race that is set before us, amen. And sometimes that exhortation takes on the form of a warning or advice or an urgent appeal, amen. You know, I believe as a pastor, it's my job, amen, to warn folks. When they become close to a spiritual cliff, amen, I'm there to yell, look out! You're going to fall over the edge, amen. Yeah, we need to communicate. Sometimes we have to communicate with a lot of feeling so people understand, amen. So they'll get the message, plain and simple. Sometimes people, you have to be blunt with them, amen? Because then otherwise they won't get the message, amen, or they don't want to hear the message. But what a better place to get exhortation but in the church through the preaching of the Word of God or from godly counsel from your pastor or some brother or sister in Christ, amen? Because that's where we should go for our exhortation. The church, the body of Christ, our pastors, amen? Our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially those that have been proven and tested over time and have been saved for many years, amen? So then we see the assembling of ourselves together shows communication. Lastly, number 7, the assembling of ourselves together shows a calling out. A calling out. We read in verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 10, "And so much more as you see the day approaching." The day approaching refers to the Lord's return or the rapture. The rapture. Now, the word church means a called-out assembly. And when you and I assemble together in our respective churches and meet, in a sense, we are called out of the world here on earth. Amen? And when you were saved, you were called out from the bondage and wages of sin. And when you and I go to church, we show to the world the next prophetic event on God's calendar, which is the rapture of the body of Christ, the church made up of all believers in Jesus Christ from the day of Pentecost up until the rapture. The rapture, where those who will be literally taken out of this world from the grave, if they've died in Christ before he returns, or alive at his return, amen? There were a group of folks at Thessalonica, the church at Thessalonica, that were concerned about what happened to those believers who had died before the Lord's return. And Paul writes some words of comfort and reassurance to the believers at Thessalonica in his first epistle to them in chapter number 4, in verses 13 through 18. Paul writes, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." There are certain things, we see that expression that Paul writes, "that I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." In other words, there are certain things that Paul does not want the believer to be left in the dark about. He wants them to be crystal clear about certain things. And this is one of them. He says, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now, the believers at Thessalonica evidently thought that those people who had died believing in Christ before Christ returned, that for somehow there was no hope or they were lost. But he's saying they're not like those that have no hope. He says in verse 14, he goes on, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." He's saying it doesn't make any difference, Paul's saying. Those that died believing in Christ and those who are alive believing in Christ, God is going to bring with him. And verse 15, "For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord," that's where it counts, "by the word of God," Paul says, amen, "not upon my words, as a man, but upon the word of God, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." What Paul is saying here is we that are alive at the Lord's coming are not going to prevent those who died in Christ from going up with the Lord also. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." This is talking about the rapture. Those that are in the graves that have died, who have believed in Christ before the rapture, will come up first. Amen. In other words, there are going to be those that haven't believed in Christ. They're going to be left on this earth, and they'll go to the graveyards, and they'll see graves that have been opened up. And they're going to scratch their head because they're going to see grave upon grave all over the world. Graves of believers that will open up. Amen. Those that have died at sea and their bodies never recovered. Amen. That have died believing in Christ will raise up out of the water wherever they are. They're going to precede those of us that are alive when Christ returns. Then we'll go up. Verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." What a blessing. What a promise. When we go up to the rapture, will never, never, ever be separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be with him for time and eternity. And Paul ends it by saying, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And these certainly are words of comfort for us today, to know as Christians. As it says here, for if we believe that Christ died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. My dear friend, you can comfort yourselves with these words, knowing that if you're trusting in the blood atonement, the shed blood of Jesus Christ to save you and to get you into heaven, then you have hope after death that no one else does. You have a hope. Amen. A joyful hope, a comforting hope that when you die, amen, it's not over, it's only the beginning of a new life. A new life with the Lord Jesus Christ, an eternal life, amen, that's waiting for you just up around the corner, amen. And I believe that he's coming very soon, amen. For the Lord himself shall descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So, as Christians then, what should we be doing? We should be listening for the shout, amen. Listening for the shout, for the voice of the archangel, and then the trump will sound. Dun-da-da! And we'll go up and out, amen. We'll go up and out of this world. What a blessing. What a blessing that awaits each and every one of us who have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've seen in this two-part study, we have seen that when we assemble ourselves together, why it is so important, because we show commitment, number one, consideration, number two, concern, number three, consecration, number four, communion, number five, communication, number six, and a calling out, number seven. So it's very important that we be in church, amen, when the doors are open, and so much more as the day approaches. Well, I hope this lesson has been a blessing for you, or to you, amen, and I appreciate those that are listening. If you want to drop me a line, or maybe there's something that you'd like me to discuss here on the Pastor Study, the good people of this radio station that you're listening to me over will give you the address where you can reach me. Well, until we meet again on the Pastor Study, this is Brother Gino saying, may God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day. And remember, keep listening for the shout, for the voice of the archangel, and for the trump of God, when you and I will be called up and out of this world.